Fantasy Fanalist Podcast. Eric, we are officially in week two. How'd your teams do last week, man?
I'm in six leagues. I won every league except that Dynasty League. And Matt, have I talked to you about that Dynasty League? Because, like, I like my team, but it's a bunch of rookies. And I'm very pleased with how it performed. But, of course, the guy who I'm playing scored the most points in the league. I would have beat some people, and it would have been a perfect week, but nope.
It is always the worst when that happens.
Roto Dan, tip of the cap. You have a good team, but you really ruined my good week there.
Eric, I went 4-0 in my leagues on Sleeper. I went 3-1 in my leagues on ESPN. And I went 2-4 in my leagues on My Fantasy League. Is it right for me to blame it on the platform?
I think it's time to ditch My Fantasy League.
It's some of my favorite leagues. I did get a win in the Scott Fishbowl, which is on My Fantasy League, and that's one of the ones that I care about the most.
That's one of the ones that counts the most. Yeah,
right. Exactly. No offense to my other leagues there, but that's a big win to start off the season. Yeah. So, all right, Eric, what we're going to be doing here on today's episode? Obviously, after week one, there's a lot of uncertainty. And there's a lot of analysis out there and news breaking down, but we are going to make sure you know whether you should panic or be patient with some of the players that either, you know, performed really well or didn't perform up to our expectations. But mostly we're going to be talking about those players that dropped total duds. It's hard to make judgments on players and write them off after 1 week, but some of these guys here, we're going to tell you to steer away from and sell, and other guys, we're going to tell you to be patient on them. So we got about a dozen guys that we're going to talk about, some of the, you know, the hottest names. Before we do that, though, Eric, we are going to talk about the news, because there is a lot of injury news and immediate fallout that's happening in fantasy football world. But, Eric, before we do that, I want to make sure our listeners hear from our friends at Fantasy Data. Hey, Fantasy Fanalist listeners, I'm excited to tell you about our sponsor, Fantasy Data, the fastest-growing fantasy sports advice and data website on the web. Ever wonder where me and Eric get all of our stats, information? Whenever we're doing research, we are using Fantasy Data, and we've been doing it for a while now. So we're really excited to have this partnership with them. This year, Fantasy Data offers advanced efficiency metrics and advanced player performance metrics. You're not going to find that anywhere else. This data is used to drive their content and is available for download, so you can find your own diamonds in the rough. Check out Fantasy Data today. All right, Eric, start us off with the news here.
All right, so most prominent is that Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill is out multiple weeks with a... I wrote down here shoulder injury, but what it sounds bad. It sounded like his clavicle went to his chest. The IR to return is an option. They said...
Can I just say clavicle? His clavicle going into his chest is just... I don't want to hear that about anybody.
That sounds painful. That does not sound pleasant. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be multiple weeks. No idea if they're going to put him on IR yet, but certainly something to monitor. Also, Mahomes has a sprained ankle. Mahomes got beat up in that game. He was limping by I think, the second quarter. So, Kansas City, work on that O-line. Matt, what do you got for backups to Tyreek Hill?
Dude, I mean, do we have to talk about this?
Yes.
It's Sammy Watkins. What in the world? What are you saying? What? 9 receptions on 11 targets. He had 198 receiving yards, Eric, and 3 touchdowns. Where has this been? This probably matches his full season production for the last 2 seasons combined.
You know everyone's starting him this weekend, and he's going to pull up 2 for 28 and then pull up Lane with a hamstring injury and be out at halftime. That's what everyone's tweeting, and it's so spot on.
It's honestly so spot on. If you want to dig deeper, the next wide receiver up on that depth chart would be DeMarcus Robinson. And then, of course, Mecole Hardman, the rookie. Robinson is a guy that a lot of people have been hyping up kind of through the preseason as a sleeper, even with Tyreek Hill healthy. So if you have room on your bench and he's available on your waiver wire, I imagine he's probably available on most waiver wires. You know, it could be worth a pickup. I wouldn't try to start him this week. But they are playing against Oakland, who certainly does not have the most intimidating secondary.
And people, this is Mahomes and the Chiefs. They're all worth a flyer.
Truly.
Washington running back Darius Geis suffered a meniscus injury. He's out anywhere from 1 to 4 weeks. They're saying he could possibly be back this Monday, or he could possibly miss a month. Matt, we'll get into more about Darius Geis a little later on, but that is incredibly disappointing for all of us who like Darius Geis a lot coming out of the draft. Matt, Jaguars QB Nick Foles on IR to return with a broken clavicle. And Matt, we don't like doing victory laps around here, but my man Gardner Minshew came in and had a game. And I was way too, like, I'm in a room with like 6 or 7 of my friends on Sunday watching this random quarterback start for the Jaguars after Nick Foles goes out. And everybody's just looking at me like, why in the world is Eric so excited about this random dude starting for the Jaguars? I'm like, you guys don't understand. I really liked him in the draft. Very nice to see him do well. Matt, you're going to say they traded for Josh Dobbs. He's a backup and a toe-looking dude, so let's not just get into that.
They traded a fifth-round pick
for Josh Dobbs,
which is definitely a higher pick than they spent on Gardner Minshew. Josh Dobbs has 3 years in the league. My man's is going to get his chance.
No, he's not, because Gardner Minshew No, he's not, because Gardner Minshew was 22 of 25 for like 200-something yards and a touchdown.
We shall see.
Two touchdowns.
Shall see.
22 of 25, 275 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. That's more than Josh Dobbs has ever done in this league. Okay, moving on. Running 49ers running back Tevin Coleman to miss time with a high ankle sprain.
This isn't good.
All that talk about how many running backs they have, and we're right back where we were last year.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. I mean, Jerick McKinnon goes down in the preseason. Tevin Coleman now. I believe, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, I think some time is probably 3 or 4 weeks is usually what we're looking at with a high ankle sprain.
Yep, that's about
right. And so now we're back to Matt Breida, who consistently gets injured. And then you're looking at Jeff Wilson and then Raheem Mostert. And Eric, we cannot rule it out. Once he himself is back and healthy, Jalen Hurd, the wide receiver slash running back, very well could get some action in that backfield and could get some rushing attempts in there.
The Hurd breakout is coming. We've been touting it all since the draft. All right, Joe Mixon suffered a sprained ankle, but it's apparently not serious, and he has a chance to play Sunday. For Trevion William truthers like myself, that's unfortunate. Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams suffers a knee injury, but he says he's fine. He was walking without a limp or anything in the Chargers locker room. Doesn't sound like he's going to miss time. Colts wide receiver Devin Funchess to the IR with a broken collarbone. I don't think anyone's had a worse 3 weeks than Devin Funchess. He signs that one-year deal. He has Andrew Luck as his quarterback, and then 3 weeks ago, Andrew Luck retires, and he's got to go to Jacoby Brissett, then he breaks his collarbone, now he's on IR. I feel really bad for Devin Funchess.
Yeah, man, I feel bad for the Colts in general, dude. This is just a no-luck team right now, and they put up a really, really good showing against the Chargers, so I don't want to write them off, but, you know, they're just it's a consistent a set of unfortunate events there for them.
The problem is their roster's so good, but come on. With Luck, they were Super Bowl contenders. With Jacoby, they're really just playoff contenders. They're not.
Which is almost, and we talked about this, Eric. We talk about this time and time again. It's the worst spot to be in the NFL.
Yep.
Just good is the worst spot. You either want to be great or you want to be terrible. Yep. Those are the only two states you want your franchise to be in. Yep. Luckily, as a Giants fan, Eric, I am in one of those states, and it is not the great one.
And speaking of the Giants, wide receiver Sterling Shepard in concussion protocol. Not sure, too early in the week to tell whether or not he will play this Sunday against, who are you playing this week?
Honestly, hold on. We are playing,
it's not the
Bills.
Oh, the
nope,
Bills.
It's the Bills.
Right.
It's the Bills.
All right, well.
I did not pick the Giants last week. I will not pick the Giants this week. There will be very few weeks, Eric, where I pick the Giants this season.
The Bills did not look great last week. I'm going to say that right now. But
They didn't look great, but there's something to be said for teams that find a way to win. Yeah, and they found a way to win.
That is true. Defense did perform well enough, I will say that.
And that's the foundation of their team. Yeah. I mean, they shut down Sam Darnold.
They did. They made him look really bad. All right, Matt, let's move on here.
All right, Eric, this is going to be kind of the meat and potatoes here of our episode. It's going to be panic or patience. Like I said, we're going to go through all of these players, about a dozen of them here, and talk more in depth about kind of our reactions. Are we buying? Are we selling? Are we freaking out? Or are we just riding it out? Before we do that, though, Eric, I want to make sure our listeners know about our friends at Fantasy.
Hey, Fantasy Fanalyst listeners, I want to encourage you to try Draft, me and Eric's favorite daily fantasy sports app. It's the most user-friendly way to get into playing DFS. It has a clean interface if you want to draft on your phone or on the web. It's personally, in my opinion, the best way to make money playing DFS, and more importantly, it's the best way to have fun doing it, and you can play against me all season long. Just use the promo code TOP2, that's T-O-P-2, and your first entry is on us. You get a free $3 entry with the promo code TOP2.
All right, Eric, start us off at the top here. The New England Patriots absolutely blew out the Steelers in Sunday Night Football. But one Patriot in particular, Eric, struggled.
Yeah. Sony Michel, 15 attempts, 14 yards. I ain't going to run from it. I've been saying all offseason that Sony's going to have a really big season. That was not the start I was looking for. The Steelers just they basically went into the game with the game plan of, we are not going to let Sony Michel beat us. That's a questionable decision because Tom Brady's quarterback and Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman are wide receivers, and they have a myriad of other running backs. Didn't work out too well. Matt, panic or patience on Sony Michel?
I want to lean towards not panicking early on, and I'd like Sony Michel as a player, but he had less snaps than James White and Rex Burkhead, and the Rex Burkhead thing is the one that's really is really throwing me off. So White and Burkhead, or White had 33 snaps, Burkhead had 32 snaps, and Sony Michel was down there with 23. I noticed in general, Eric, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit, and it's really funny talking to Eric in the middle of Patriots games because he's like, shut up and be patient. Don't talk to me about what they're doing. But a lot of five wide receiver sets, and it seemed like they really were invested in passing the ball much more than I expected them to be. Here's the thing, though, and here's why I'll say I'm not going to panic. Any particular week, Bill Belichick, I mean, he really adjusts his schemes probably more than any other coach in the league to his opponent that week. So if it makes more sense for him to run the ball, that's going to be a week that Sony, you know, could have more snaps than Rex Burkhead. But just right off the bat to see that, Eric, it makes me nervous.
I'm preaching full-scale patience because when Sony Michel came on the field, the Steelers basically said, okay, they're not throwing the ball, they are running the ball. How did the Patriots react to that? What they did later on in the game, when the Steelers stacked the box and Sony Michel was in the game, they went to play action and they burned the Steelers on it. It's just the way the game plan shook out. Really not worried about it at all. The Patriots are going to have a great offense all season, with or without some personnel. And honestly, I still think Sony's due for a big season. But it was not a great start. That's just about as bad of a start as you can have. I agree. All right.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at the next couple games here for the Patriots, they have Miami this next week, and you know, that's a smash. You're playing every Patriot you own. I mean, you know, start Philip Dorsett. I don't know. Like, start anybody against the Dolphins. And then they have the Jets and Bills. So there's opportunity for him to prove himself over the next couple weeks. But if I don't see it, probably I'm going to give him two more weeks before I really start to freak out.
I am not worried at all yet. All right, Baker Mayfield. Big ol' yikes from the Cleveland Browns in week one.
I mean, dude, if you had to guess like one, I mean, so many people I've heard struggles in their survivor pools this week because it seemed like such an easy play to pick Cleveland over Tennessee.
Not if you listened to the pod last week.
You did. I got to be honest. I kind of shut Eric down every time he talks about Tennessee's defense, but they showed it.
Two pick sixes. I told you they're legit. They're a legit threat in that AFC South. But this was just a full-scale meltdown from Baker. This was bad. I mean, I talked up the Titans' defense last week, but I didn't see that coming. Baker was 25 of 38, 285 yards, one touchdown, three picks. Matt, panic or patience? They got the Jets on Monday night this week.
Well, here's the thing, Eric. We talked about this all offseason. They have a lot of talent, but it's a lot of new people in the locker room, and we said it was going to take time to gel. I know this isn't a fun thing to see, and if I was a Browns fan, I probably wouldn't be as optimistic as I am as an outsider looking in. But sometimes getting smacked in the mouth, dude, is exactly what a team needs. And I think that this could be a good way in the long run for Cleveland to start off the season. Now, Eric, the interceptions themselves is really what scares me. Like, if Baker just run one touchdown and no interceptions and just let low yardage, it would have still been unfortunate for fantasy football purposes. But this is the thing that I've been harping on from Baker from the start. I mean, he's always had a high touchdown-to-interception ratio. And by high, I mean, you know, high on the interception side. So that is a concern, and that is something that can sink a fantasy football quarterback. Even if they get you know, up into 300 yards. If you're in a league that you're losing 4 points for an interception, or even a standard league where you're losing negative 2 points, like, those add up quickly. And so I'm panicking at the value that we've been holding Baker at. I think the team is going to click and it's going to be fine. So I don't think you want to sell right now, but he's certainly not looking like the top three or top five quarterback that he was getting touted as.
Definitely jumped the gun on the top three, top five quarterback if you had him ranked there. That's
right.
That was blasphemous from the start. I don't care who he's got around him.
He'll still be a quarterback one this season, but you know what I mean? You want to see from a top five quarterback total dominance in, I mean, we saw the complete opposite.
Yeah. I'm going to choose to be patient. I'm glad you said what you said about getting humbled, because when they were getting crapped on Sunday, I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know what, this really, I've seen this before, this actually could be really good for them, getting their comeuppance, getting humbled a bit, showing like, okay, you can't just show up and play the games, you actually have to, you know, you can't just talk the talk, you gotta walk the walk. They could bounce back with a huge game against the Jets on Monday, and everything will be fine. Or, they could struggle, lose possibly to the Jets, and this could be an epic explosion.
Yeah, and as much as we said earlier that the Jets' offense didn't look good, the Jets' defense did look good. I mean, C.J. Mosley had the pick six, or at least the interception. I don't think it was a pick six.
It was a pick six.
And then he had the fumble recovery, and that defense overall was putting good pressure on Josh Allen. So, you know, I wouldn't rule that out as just the Bills' offense being bad. I think the Jets' defense did look pretty good, and if they could shut down Nick Chubb in the same way that Tennessee shut down Nick Chubb, I think we're going to start panicking on him.
But it looks, that's a perfect transition to Nick Chubb, but I got to say this, it looked good for the Jets defense until CJ Mosley went out with a groin injury. And that's when
is he out? Is he missing time?
I don't know, but he didn't come back in the game. He was out for the game. So it bears watching whether CJ Mosley plays, because it's clearly a completely different defense when he's on the field. Matt, with the perfect transition, Nick Chubb, 17 attempts, 75 yards, 3 receptions, 10 yards. Had a Nick Chubb owner in the room with me on Sunday just flipping out. If I had to ask him panic or patience, he'd be panicking full scale right now. He'd probably be trading Nick Chubb for, I don't know, O.J. Simpson's left leg. Matt, panic or patience on Nick Chubb?
I don't even know how to react to that.
Don't laugh. O.J. Simpson's left leg probably still has a lot of juice in it. Get it? Juice? I didn't even mean to do that.
Oh, like orange juice?
No, his nickname is Juice.
Oh. Oh, man.
All right, well, here's, see you later, everyone.
Here's why I'm not panicking on Nick Chubb yet. Nick Chubb got sniped at the goal line by Dontrell Hillard, who I started, Eric, in one league, and I was thrilled because it was literally the one carry that Hillard got for 4 yards and a touchdown. And that's where Nick Chubb makes his bread and butter. Nick Chubb rarely goes above 125, 130 yards, but he usually gets a touchdown or two. So you're looking at negative game script, right? So they're playing from behind, and they didn't get a lot of opportunity in the red zone. So I'm not panicking on Nick Chubb. This was a game script that was not in his favor. Once Cleveland starts getting ahead in games and starts getting more opportunity in the red zone, that's when Nick Chubb makes his bread and butter.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm being patient. That's not even that terrible of a game, to be honest. 75.
Right, I mean, it's still yards, a decent stat line, yeah. Yards.
That's 11 points in full point PPR. Yeah. We're good. But it's just the game got out of hand. It got away from the Browns. I'm willing to bet Nick Chubb bounces back. All right, Matt. Jared Goff. This was a weird game. Good game, but weird game. 23 of 20 or 39, 186 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. I watched this primarily on Sunday because I have Sunday Ticket and I had 2 Rams fans in the room with me yelling at me to put the Rams game on. So, he looked bad. There's no sugarcoating this. He still looked a little rattled from the Super Bowl. And honestly, Matt, I should be preaching patience. I'm panicking a little bit with Jared Goff right now. This is the second time in a row where I've seen he gets kind of skittish. They just gave him a huge contract. I'm panicking a little bit. This is like the closest one for me, and I'm panicking a tad.
Yeah, I mean, this wouldn't be a situation where I'm selling him, but I own Jared Goff in a lot of spots, and I'm going to hold on to him because I believe in the system he plays in.
Yeah.
And I say this a lot about Jared Goff, but he just has to be good to be great. And I know he hasn't even looked good last week. I wouldn't underestimate the Carolina defense. I mean, it's a solid defensive unit. It's going up against the Saints this week. It's a secondary you can score on, but not necessarily one that, you know, is an easy team to beat up on. So I think we're going to have to see a little bit more of how the Rams offense overall can operate. And Goff really, you know, the touchdowns weren't there. He's not able to get the yardage up there. I mean, he struggled overall, but the Rams offense didn't really move in the way that we expected it to. And so maybe we need to adjust our expectations a little bit of the Rams offense, but I think we're going to see I think we're going to know a lot better when we can kind of compare it against New Orleans.
That's fair. They are home against New Orleans this week. That is something to watch. That's probably the game of the week, to be honest.
And them being home is a big advantage over New Orleans.
Yes. New Orleans outside the dome. We'll get to the Rams more in a minute, but next we have Tyler Lockett.
This was a weird one, man.
Who got one reception, 44 yards, touchdown, saved the day right there. That's all you need.
Honestly,
from Tyler
Lockett. Like, thank you yes. So much, Tyler, for that one. That one thing you did for me.
Matt, I have no idea what to think of the Seattle offense right now. What is going on? They didn't do a lot of plays. I think they had like 49 offensive plays against the Bengals. I don't know what to think of the Seahawks right now. Right now, like, Lockett had a great year last year, but like I'm panicking just a tad, because this offense is the most perplexing offense in the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely perplexing, and here's why I'm not panicking on Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett was still on the field for 48 snaps, which was 91% of the snaps for Seattle. DK Metcalf and, is it Jerron Brown? They both were on the field for 41 snaps, which is 77%. That's what they had for wide receivers out there. I mean, they're literally three deep at wide receiver right now. So, I mean, Lockett's still the guy on the field the most, and we know that Lockett doesn't need a high target share in order to produce. Now, this is an extreme example of it, but getting a 44-yard touchdown pass isn't rare for Tyler Lockett. Nope. Now, yes, would we like to see him get some other catches as well? Sure, fantastic. But from what I'm seeing from this offense, I'm not panicking on Tyler Lockett, but Eric, I am going and buying DK Metcalf, who had six targets for four receptions in 89 yards. So DK Metcalf had six targets, three times the amount of targets that Tyler Lockett had, and this was his first NFL game, apparently coming back from a minor injury. So, I mean, that's the guy I'm locking in on here. I'm not focused on Tyler Lockett. I'm just going to chill if I have him, but I'm going to go and look to get DK Metcalf if I wasn't already somebody who had spent the entire offseason loading up on DK Metcalf, which I did.
Metcalf did look like the truth. Also, since we don't have any Bengals players on here, shout out to the Bengals. Zach Taylor, what a performance. I know they lost by one, but that's that's as tough a place to play as any in the NFL. They went out there, lost by 1 point, and they put up
no business being in that game.
Yes.
No business.
Everybody and their mother thought they were going to get blown out in that game. They lost by 1 point. John Ross had a huge game. Andy Dalton threw 400 yards. That is how you start off the Zach Taylor era in Cincinnati. It looks to be a much-needed change.
If you can get... I mean, Zach Taylor deserves Coach of the Year right now, because he got seven receptions, 158 yards, and two touchdowns out of John Ross. Eric, without exaggerating, I'm pretty sure, like, that very well may be that what he's accumulated the last two seasons total. Like, I'm not even joking.
I don't even think he has that the last two seasons total. I think that's more than what he's got. But yeah, it's truly, truly impressive start. All right, Matt. Kyler Murray and the Arizona offense. This was another game that just was out of hand. They did nothing for three quarters. I'm not even exaggerating that. I think he had 70-something yards through three quarters.
It's terrible.
And then they went off. Like, they just woke up. It was like they poked the bear too much, and the bear woke up. He threw for, like, 270-something yards in the fourth quarter, led them from, like, 18 points down or something, and they tied 27-27 with the Detroit Lions. By the way, Detroit Lions, big yikes to not win that game. Matt, panic, patience, what are your thoughts? I'm interested to hear.
Uninterested. I am completely and utterly uninterested in this Arizona offense. I was sitting here, I was telling you not to panic after the preseason because we weren't going to see a lot of what we expected to see. But I did tell you that this offense very well could not work, and it's why I'm not invested, Eric, in pretty much any of the Arizona offense. I'm trying to think. I had some Christian Kirk shares, but I traded those off. I think I might have one Kyler Murray share just for funsies, but I am certainly not encouraged by that. I think we saw his height be a detrimental factor. We didn't see him run with the ball nearly as much as I thought we expected him to. This was an offense that couldn't really move the ball on the ground in the way that I think we expected them to. And they were playing the Detroit Lions, Eric, which is not a tougher team that they're going to play this season. They were playing them at home. And if you take away the overtime stats, all of these, including Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, all of these Arizona Cardinals would have been non-relevant fantasy football players. I think Kyler Murray would have finished in the 20s overall, like as a quarterback ranking in week one without the overtime stats. And you can't bank on overtime stats. I mean, I'm not interested. And I'm in a full-on panic if I own anything. If I own David Johnson, if I spent my first-round pick on David Johnson, Eric, I'd be terrified right now.
In redraft, I would be. If I had David Johnson in a redraft, I'd be like, ah, crap. This is going to just be up and down a roller coaster all year. I don't want to panic too much yet because we've just been waiting for them to do something, and they finally did something, and it was an impressive something. So I get that it was the Lions. They have the Ravens in Baltimore this week. We're gonna find out this weekend exactly what the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray are made of, because that defense in Baltimore, even without Jimmy Smith, who got hurt, is no joke. So I mean,
start literally nobody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Arizona. This is the week to avoid all Arizona players. It's way too risky. All right. Next up, we got Kerryon Johnson, who are playing the aforementioned Arizona Cardinals. 16 attempts, 49 yards, 2 receptions, 13 yards. It's notable because the Cardinals were the worst team in the NFL last year in going against fantasy running backs. They give up the most points to fantasy running backs, and that is not an impressive stat line from Kerryon Johnson. Matt, panic or patience?
Yeah, I'm panicking. Honestly, this is a guy that I'm panicking on probably the most right off the bat. And one of the reasons that I'm panicking, Eric, Kerryon Johnson got 50 snaps, and C.J. Anderson got 26. I don't want to see C.J. Anderson on the field 30% of the time. So Kerryon Johnson, by the way, if we break that down, that's C.J. Anderson 30% of the time, Kerryon Johnson 57% of the time. Dude, that's not what I wanted to see. I was hoping C.J. Anderson would be an afterthought. Kerryon Johnson's not being efficient when he is getting the ball. And most importantly, man, he's not being targeted in the passing game. Just 2 receptions for 13 yards? That's not going to work. And Detroit is going to be hard-pressed to find an easier defense to play against this year. This is a young unit that is not experienced in general or experienced playing with each other, and yet Kerryon Johnson was totally unable to get something going. So I'm panicking, man.
Yeah, if you can't do it against the Cardinals, then I mean, who are you gonna do it against? That's right, that's what I'm saying. They have the Chargers this week in Detroit. I mean, the Chargers did just get gashed by Marlon Mack and the Colts, but the Colts, I would argue, have a much better offensive line than the Lions. I'm in the slight panic on Kerryon Johnson, because that was not a good performance, and I think people overhyped him just a smidgen this offseason.
I think we're infatuated with Kerryon Johnson's potential, but I mean, you know, at some point we need to look at what he is and what he's done, and I'm not saying we write him off yet, but you know, I'm not looking to go and buy him low or anything like that. Like, I'm just avoiding this guy.
I agree. All right, Matt, I'm not even going to have you talk on this one. I will do it for you. Damian Williams, panic or patience.
This is fantastic.
Let me do it. 13 attempts, 26 yards, 6 receptions, 39 yards. He did have a touchdown callback. I don't care about that. LeSean McCoy, this is why it's full-scale panic. McCoy, 10 attempts, 81 yards, 1 reception, 12 yards. To all you people who thought LeSean McCoy was just washed and he had a crap year last year, like we said, it was on the Buffalo O-line, and he had a ton of injuries. He's still good. He's going to take that job in 3 weeks. If you took Damian Williams in the second round, which was stupid, even though I did like him, you're beyond panic. You've lost your season already, pretty much. You pretty much just tanked your season. Damian Williams, great job getting 13 attempts and 6 receptions. That's 19 touches. That's pretty solid. But that's going to go down more and more as we move on here, as McCoy gets more integrated into the offense. Big time panic. That was a dumb move to take him in the second or even third round. Bad move.
Here it is, Eric. I'm actually not panicking on Damian Williams because I never bought into him in the first place. So this is what he is, dude. Damian Williams is a Jag. He's just another guy. And if you put him in the Chiefs offense by himself, fantastic. But he's not in the Chiefs offense by himself. And if Damian Williams is splitting volume and splitting carries and targets, I'm completely uninterested. So at this point, if you drafted Damian Williams, I think you got to bite the bullet. You got to figure out how to move him. And now you don't want to give up, you know, give him away for free. But if you got to get a wide receiver 2 for him, if you got to get a flex type player for him, that's what we're looking at. I mean, move him for somebody with more upside, because Damian Williams, it's not somebody you're going to be able to depend on. And you're going to need to hope that Shady McCoy becomes less good. But Eric, 10 for 81 is pretty daggone efficient, and he didn't look like an old man this week.
Yep. McCoy will have that starter job by week 2. All right. Next week. All right, moving on here. This was the big one of the week, which I really feel like people overreacted to this, because guys...
Because people have been overreacting to this guy for 8 months, so why would week 1 be any different? Yeah.
Todd Gurley, 14 rushes for 97 yards. He had one reception. Malcolm Brown sniped 2 touchdowns, and he had a solid game. I believe he also went over 90 yards. People are just in full-scale panic. People are just thinking, oh my God, Todd Gurley's done. He's over with. Matt, panic or patience?
Patience. I'm not freaking out. 14 for 97? Come on, that's good.
He looked good at the end, too. I mean, he looked. Right. I'm watching him like, looks like Todd Gurley to me.
Now, does it suck that Malcolm Brown sniped 2 touchdowns? Yes. But Todd Gurley's not the first guy to ever be sniped for touchdowns at the goal line. And so I'm not worried about it. Here's Eric. Here's where I'd be panicking. If I had bought into Daryl Henderson, I'd be panicking, because obviously it's going to take some time for the rookie to jump in and do the workload. But the way that we were hyping Daryl Henderson, and Eric, that's a big we, because I wasn't doing it, and I know you weren't doing it either. We were... You know, the general we was talking about Daryl Henderson splitting carries, getting 30% of the workload right off the bat in week 1. Well, that's not what happened. Malcolm Brown was the next guy up in LA, and Todd Gurley was still the first guy. He still got the bulk of the work, and he was still efficient in that work. You add one touchdown to Todd Gurley's line, and he's a running back 1. I'm not panicking.
Here's my thoughts on what we saw from the Rams and Todd Gurley in week 1. I'm just choosing to believe this. I don't have any sources or anything. I'm just choosing to believe that the Rams said, you know what, we really worked him early last season, and he just was worn down by the time we got to the stretch run, to the playoffs, and to the Super Bowl eventually. I think the Rams are saying, let's keep him fresh. We'll still give him touches enough. Now, I understand this is not what you want to hear as a fantasy owner, but I believe this is what they're doing. Let's keep him fresh. Let's get him ready for the stretch run, and then we will feed him more and more as we gear up towards the playoffs, so he's ready to go then. Now, that's not all that bad, because then eventually you'll have him, you know, for the playoffs, for the fantasy playoffs, and you'll be like, oh, well, you know, fresh Todd Gurley for the playoffs. Yes, sign me up. I think that's what they're doing here. They know that they could plug in pretty much anyone, as we saw with CJ Anderson last year. They could plug in pretty much anyone at running back right now and be pretty successful on offense. That's why Malcolm Brown's doing what he's doing. I just think they're preserving Todd Gurley. I'm patient on him right now, to be honest. All right, Matt. O.J. Howard. Yeah, I'm coming after all you people who said, oh, Eric, why isn't O.J. Howard in your top 5 tight ends thing? Well, that's why. 4 receptions, 32 yards. Big old dud. Matt, panic or patience?
Absolutely panicking. Absolutely. Eric, how would you describe the Tampa Bay offense this weekend? Playing against, Eric, not an especially difficult defense in San Francisco.
I believe it was a bit picky.
Oh, that was a good one. Like, at first I was like, picky? Oh. Because Jameis Winston looked absolutely terrible, Eric. And here's the thing that we have been banging the drum on all offseason long. Jameis Winston is not good at football. it does not matter how good Jameis Winston's weapons are if he doesn't know how to throw the ball to his weapons. This hurts not only Jameis Winston, but also his weapons. And O.J. Howard is a talented tight end. He has a lot of potential to be a great player in this league, but his potential, especially for fantasy football purposes, is capped by the poor offense that he is in, primarily because of the poor quarterback play that is leading his offense. This is going to be a problem for O.J. Howard. It's going to be a problem for Mike Evans, even though we know Evans' struggles can probably be better tied to the injury that he was struggling with. And Chris Godwin saved himself with a touchdown. But this offense is in trouble overall, every player on it. If Jameis Winston cannot figure out how to throw the football, and Eric, we have been saying, this is the fifth year that we have been saying that maybe Jameis Winston will figure out how to read a defense and how to properly process and get the ball where it needs to be, dude. These interceptions he was throwing were not defensive plays. I mean, it was just total lack of execution on Winston's part, and it's bringing down the entire offense.
Yep, and I wanted to say this right now. I'll give myself a no here. All right, people. Godwin can make plays here and there. He's a good player. He makes good plays. He's a good player that I'm down on, but I'm telling you right now, like me and Matt have been saying, Matt hasn't been saying this about Godwin. He's been saying it about Winston. But what I've been saying is he will never be what you want him to be with Winston at quarterback. And me and Matt have been saying that since the beginning of time. So, just...
Eric, I gotta give you just a little bit of props here since we're talking about tight ends, dude. Your guy Mark Andrews, man, he balled out this week. He caught all 8 of his targets for 100 yards and a touchdown.
And he probably only played like 3 quarters, too. That's the other part. I mean,
yeah, they pulled most of their offense after the third quarter.
He loves Mark
Andrews. Most of their starting offense.
He loves Mark Andrews.
I will say Hayden Hurst also did get involved. Hayden Hurst had, 40 yards on 3 receptions. But, I mean, you could tell the emphasis that they were putting on Mark Andrews. So Mark Andrews finished as tight end 4. Eric, your boy TJ Hawkinson finished as tight end 1. And my man Evan Engram finished as tight end 2 this last week. So it kind of a wacky tight end week. I mean, Vernon Davis was 5. Blake Jarwin was 6. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a wacky week. But I do think we're going to see Andrews and Engram at least stick towards the top.
Yeah, props to you on Engram. Engram's going to have a huge season. There's just nobody in the Giants offense right now that's taking targets away from him, at least until Tate comes back. It is Engram. He's already the number one option, right? Like, outside of Barkley, yeah. He's got to be he's the number one receiver.
He's been the 2. Even if Shepard and Tate are both healthy and not suspended, yeah. I mean, he's still more athletic. And honestly, probably has just as good of hands, if not better, than those 2 guys. And Eric, real quick, talking about tight ends and a guy that I just want to put a quick caveat not to panic about. George Kittle didn't look like – he only put up 8 fantasy points this week. Well, I guess it would be – even more in a PPR league, but don't panic on George Kittle. He had 2 touchdowns called back, and he still had 8 receptions and 10 targets in that offense, which led that offense. So I know he didn't necessarily have the flashiest numbers, but George Kittle is just fine, and he's still worth the investment that you put in him.
Yes, I agree. All right, moving on here to Curtis Samuel, who had 3 receptions for 32 yards. Matt, I'm preaching patience on this right now. I've never been the highest on Samuel. This preseason, I've been getting more and more into him. Like, he could be. He's still relatively young. I'm preaching patience on Curtis Samuel because the Rams saw it fit to put Aqib Talib on him. I have no idea why the Rams did that because DJ Moore ripped them a new one the whole game. I'm just watching. I'm like, this is incredible. You're just gonna leave Talib on Samuel when he's shutting him down like that? Maybe put him on Moore, but then who knows if Samuel would have gone off. I'm just preaching patience because Aqib Talib is still a very good corner, and Samuel, it's his 3rd year. He's still, I think, 23 years old. That is a tough thing to be faced with in week 1.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis Samuel was out there on 62 snaps this last week. DJ Moore was out there in 63 snaps. So they're playing an equal amount. The work went to DJ Moore this week because that's what the LA Rams decided to allow Carolina to do. And it very well could be that next week, who's Carolina playing next week? Carolina's playing Tampa Bay. Okay, so it very well may be that Tampa Bay is going to prioritize DJ Moore, which is, like Eric alluded to, is probably going to be what most teams will choose. It wasn't Curtis Samuel's week, but he's still a flex-worthy play, especially against the Tampa Bay defense. So I'm probably playing Curtis Samuel this week if I'm choosing between him and slotting him into a second or third flex spot.
That's fair. That's fair. Yep. Not going away from Curtis Samuel just yet. All right, moving on to Robbie Anderson here, who's playing against the Bills. It means he saw a likely large amount of Tre'Davious White. 3 receptions, 27 yards. Matt, panic or patience?
Oh, I'm not really freaking out because you didn't have to invest highly in Robbie Anderson to get him on your team. So, I mean, hopefully you wouldn't be overly invested in him to the point where one bad week, you know, really scares you off. And quite frankly, you're probably not going to get anything back. I think the Jets offense will come together. We saw some good flashes from them this weekend, but they're not quite gelled in there yet. And like we said, Eric, I mean, Buffalo's a good defense. Buffalo's a team that I've been pretty hype on to sneak into the playoffs this year. It's a good defense. It's a good team. And I'm not fading the Jets offense yet. They're still going to be, when Sam Darnold has more time to operate in the pocket and the Jets have the ability to stretch the secondary a little bit more, that's where Robbie Anderson really becomes that touchdown factor. And when the Jets can move the ball down the field more, it's going to benefit Robbie Anderson. And I think they'll get there. So I don't think you need to panic on him yet.
I'm not going to panic on Robbie Anderson just yet, but the game that was, I have two TVs where I'm watching the football games on Sunday, and the local game was the Jets and the Bills.
Quick flex, all right.
Yep. I mean, if you're not watching on two TVs, come on, who are you? You're not prepared for this. But I'm gonna be real with you, man. Josh Allen and Sam Darnold owners right now in Dynasty, I'd be a little worried. That was bad. Like, and you're saying, oh, it's only year two, give it a break. Like, yeah, dude, year two, Lamar's in year two, too. He looked pretty good. I mean, you can give all the credit you want to the defenses, but that game was the sloppiest game I have ever watched. It was ugly. It was difficult to watch. Josh Allen couldn't stop making turnovers. Sam Darnold looked like he forgot to throw at the end. Like, he literally just forgot how to throw. I mean, Jameson Crowder was good. I'll give that. He had like 14 catches and 99 yards. That's pretty solid. But I'll give it some time, but that was not the start I was looking for from either of those guys. All right, Matt, let's finish this up with a unfortunately down note. We mentioned that Darius Guyatt got injured. He's out 1 to 4 weeks. He had 10 attempts for 18 yards, 3 receptions for 20 yards in what was a surprisingly positive game script for Washington. They were up early.
It was just so weird.
It really was. And then, of course, they choked because they're Washington. Right. Matt, panic or patience, you know where I'm at.
I mean, here's the thing, man. If he had left the game healthy, if he had just gone 10 attempts for 18 yards, three receptions, 20 yards, and that was it, I probably would be saying patience right now. And the reason I say that is because Washington is clearly high on him. Washington made Adrian Peterson a healthy scratch for week one. Adrian Peterson has never in his career been a healthy scratch. And Adrian Peterson was a huge part of their offense last season with Darius Geis out. So clearly they think very highly of Geis. Now also clearly the Washington training staff is completely inept and unable to get their players back from injury in a proper way. Which really, honestly, Eric, at this point needs to be addressed by the league. Was it Trent Williams? His name is slipping my mind right now. Good for the left tackle there holding out, because clearly we're seeing this as a continuous issue. And Darius Geis, man, it's a continuous issue in the knee. And I know, Eric, we mentioned in the news, it said something like 1 to 4 weeks. Listen, if they're talking about the knee, assume the worst. And especially if you're thinking about a continual issue with Darius Geis. I mean, at this point, you got to be panicking with Darius Geis. You need to be all off him. There's too much risk, and I'm not seeing enough reward from this running back playing in a bad offense. I can't see the value of stashing him in a redraft league. I think you're only losing value as the weeks go on in a dynasty league. If you can move him for a 2 at this point, I think you cash in.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm panicking. I'm cashing in for a 2.
It sucks because we like him. We like him, and he's talented. And if he gets healthy and he gets right, he is going to be a fantastic player. But there's just so many ifs and maybes at this point, you can't feel good about it.
Fantasy football is about eliminating risks. Darius Geis has a lot of risk attached to him right now, unfortunately. That's just
big facts.
Just the name of the game.
If you play the upside game, you risk getting burned. You play the game of upside or you die.
That is very true. All
right. Did I get it right? There was a Game of Thrones reference. I think I might mix that up a little bit.
I was comfortable with you not bringing up Game of Thrones because still not over it. Not over it.
Serious. Oh, man. Yeah.
Oof. That's for another pod. We can't get into that.
That is. Oh, my God. Yeah. Another 45 minutes we lose right there. Yep. All right, Eric. That is our week one kind of recap, doing it in panic or patience. Please make sure to go ahead and follow us on Twitter. I'm at the FF underscore educator. Eric is at the FF underscore taters. We are at the FF analysts. Check out all of our work on the FFanalysts.com. Really fantastic articles by our awesome staff of writers. Me and Eric also do things on there, but you hear our voices. This is your opportunity to really catch on to the words of what our writers are doing. It's a fantastic resource. You want to make sure that you're checking it out for all your waiver wire, Dynasty, DFS, Start Sit advice. It's all there. We cover all the topics. We do general NFL news, previews, and recaps articles as well. At least one article, Eric, if not two, coming out every day. So if you enjoy the podcast, you got to be checking out the website, theffanalyst.com, every day because we're dropping new material all the time. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Later, taters.